Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Make some money on the option and also on an increase in the rent. You're not going to get rich on it, but if you maintain it long enough, you can make money on it.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's best ever guests as they share it with you. It's the best ever advice with none of the fluff. Let's go.
Heard of crowdfunding and still curious about how you can benefit from it? Well, we've got a step-by-step guide put together just for you by the best ever team and Patch of Land, the industry's leading crowdfunding experts. The best crowdfunding crash course ever, episodes 152, 159, 166, and 173 will provide you all you need to know to get started and begin benefiting immediately. Whether it's getting access to funds for your project or passively investing in other people's deals, the time is now to get started with Patch of Land. Go to patchofland.com/best ever to grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever.
Hi, best ever listeners. Welcome to the best real estate investing advice ever show. I am happy and pleased to say I am with today's best ever guest, and her name is Sandra Musselwhite. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Sandra is an avid reader of murder mysteries, as she just mentioned, to gain some balance in her life because she has been a real estate investor for 45 years, primarily in income-producing residential properties. She's got a wealth of experience to share with us today. I'm really excited to hear about her experience, her journey, and her insights that she's learned along the way. She's based in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And with that being said, Sandra, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit about your background and what you're doing now?
Well, I started basically the first job I ever had other than babysitting was in a little trailer in a little place called Accokeek, Maryland. I wrote the checks for people I never saw. They were salespeople, and they made more money than my father, who had a job that he had to go through Congress to be approved for. And I thought, these people never work, but they make all this money. So, gee, this must be a pretty good job. I was pretty naive. I was only 16. And then when I bought my first house out in the boonies in Manassas, Virginia, which now has almost 500,000 people, but at the time only had 30, and I needed a job, I saw an ad in the paper that said, sell real estate, make big money. So I went and inquired about a job selling real estate, and I failed the test, the only thing I ever failed in my life. And I cried for 3 weeks, and I went back, and they said, don't worry about it. You can try again. So I tried again. I passed the test. And I sold 5 houses the first weekend I was in the business. I had no idea how to fill out a contract, but I knew how to listen to people. So pretty much after that, the rest was history. That was my experience as to basically how I got into real estate. But after that, I kept asking, well, what about these VA foreclosures? Oh, you don't want to worry your preload head about that. You just keep on selling real estate. Well, so it took me 10 years to actually get into investment real estate. And then once I got into investment real estate, obviously there was no turning back. So that's basically how I got into investment real estate. I had to fight my way into it.
You talked about that first weekend, you sold 5 houses. You had no idea how to do a contract, but you knew how to listen to people.
Yes, that's correct.
What tips can you give the best ever listeners as far as being a good listener?
You have to know what it is you need to give them. So you have to know what they want in order to give it to them. There you go. That's listening. That's listening in a really pure sense. And that's how you do it.
So Sandra, I know that with your background, you'd mentioned that you're a strong advocate of 50-year loans versus 30-year loans. Can you explain the reasons why?
15-year loans versus 30-year loans? Yes, because basically the number of years that you're going to be paying interest and the amount of money you're going to be paying over that additional 30 years. If you're going to be holding the property as your home, you're going to have that additional money that you can be used for retirement, travel, for one thing. If you have children, you can use it to pay for their education. There actually are people who are in their 60s and 70s who are still paying, as you probably know, for college loans that they took out in their 20s. That's a very sad statistic.
And then with the 15-year versus 30-year, you'll obviously pay it off sooner.
Yes.
That's a major advantage. And you pay less. So that's another major advantage. And then the disadvantages would be that you don't make as much on a regular basis leading up to that point because the loan will be higher. And then also there are tax advantages involved with having a mortgage and the interest that you pay off on a regular basis. So how do you reconcile those things?
The best advice I could give somebody would be to go to bankrate.com and compare it. And you're either living for now or you're living for your future. And that's a decision you and your financial advisor would have to make. If you compare the two, you'll see you're actually, depending upon the amount of your loan, you're probably saving it $50,000 and up over a period of time. If you're looking at an investment property, generally speaking, somebody else is making that payment for you. And if you have a rental property, after 15 years is up, it's all profit. If you've got a 30-year loan, you're still paying on the mortgage, even though somebody else is making the payment for you. Whereas if you have a 15-year loan, it's pure income. Did I make that clear?
Absolutely, makes sense. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at an investment and you are looking at the different loan types, you know, you got the 15-year, you got the 30-year, and if we're talking commercial property, are you primarily residential, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
But it's a matter of income. For instance, if some people will do a 20-year loan instead of a 15-year loan because it makes more sense to them. It's easier to deal with. I have some people I mentor that choose to do a 20-year loan. Some people do a 10-year loan. If you get below 10 years, it doesn't make any sense.
Why is that?
Well, it's like a car loan. The payments are just too high.
Over the years, whenever you've seen different real estate cycles, what have you seen, you know, coming out of this last turn, and are you foreseeing anything that's similar that right now that leads you to believe we're going in a upswing or downswing in the overall market cycle? And I realize that every market is unique, but just generally across the board, what are you seeing, you know, since you've come across probably more than a handful of different real estate cycles in your career?
Are you referring to 2008?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could have predicted that. that was a manipulation by the stock god, so to speak, that really had nothing to do with real estate cycles, in my opinion. When I first got into real estate, when I was young and naive, a woman who is about my age now was married to an economics professor, and she gave me some advice, which I thought was, at the time, sounded interesting. I've not forgotten it, and I think it made a lot of sense looking back on it. She said, when bonds go up, real estate goes up. When stock goes up, real estate goes down. That still is true. Right now, bonds are going down. And real estate is across the board starting to lose some value, even though the numbers that the government puts down are usually behind 3 to 6 months. So they will say that real estate has appreciated. And that's true. The most recent numbers do say that. I think 4% are the numbers currently. And the interest rates are going up just a little bit, but they are going up. I think we're going to see a slowdown in appreciation, and interest rates are going up. So it seems to be true.
And why is the correlation when bonds go up, real estate goes up?
I'm not an economist. I'm just going by what she told me, and it seems to have been true over the years. It's a matter of money available. Basically, that's what it correlates to. It's a matter of where do people put their money. If they're putting it into stocks, they're not putting it into mortgages. It's just that basic.
Okay, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Sandra, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
I want to be real clear here. If you're going to hire, and I'm a real estate investment mentor, and I do charge on a fee basis. If you're going to pay somebody to advise you, get somebody local who knows the local market. Don't give your money to somebody who's here from out of town and doesn't know the local market. That's probably my best advice. Research. Consider your sources before you make financial decisions, whether it be stocks, bonds, or real estate.
And why is it important to have someone local there?
Because you're dealing with a local market. Real estate is very local. It's kind of like politics. Politics is local. Real estate is local. Everything works somewhere, but everything doesn't work everywhere. And there are many, many different kinds of ways to create equity. And I believe in creating equity. For instance, many people think that you can flip property all day long and you'll get rich. But what they don't realize is flipping is a job. Flipping is not investing. The people who made the most money going back to 2008 were the people who had rental property. Somebody else is making your payments. You're not. It doesn't matter what goes on in the market. But you have to realize this thing. You have to realize that it's local. What happens on a national basis is not going to affect you if you're investing in the local market.
You mentioned there are many different ways to create equity, and you're focused on income-producing residential properties. So what are the different ways to produce equity in income-producing residential properties?
Well, Joe, let's talk about what's going on currently, because that is the key. What might have been going on when the interest rates are 18% may not be going on when it's 4% or 5%. So we have to go with the flow, so to speak. What was going on in 1977 may not be going on when it's 1997 or 2017. Whenever I make an investment decision, and this means if I bought the house 6 months ago and I've fixed it up and I'm getting ready to resell it, I check the comparables every stage along the way because the market changes all the time. So you're asking me a general question, which really requires a specific answer. I like lease options, if that's what you really want a specific answer. And lease options work all along the way in almost every kind of market. So I gave you a general answer to a specific question, and then I came back and gave you a specific answer. Does that satisfy you, or you want me to be more specific?
I am completely satisfied. Thank you for that. Right. And thanks for the recap on the general and specifics. Let's get specific on lease options. So,
okay.
Can you give the best ever listeners a little bit more kind of a definition of what a lease option is and just in a general example of how it works?
Okay. Well, lease options can work a couple of ways. You can find somebody who has a property that they can't sell, but they need to get out from underneath their payments. So you offer to lease their property and then you sublease it to somebody else, but you're responsible for the payments. So you're doing a sandwich lease. That's something that started out like most creative opportunities. Started out in California and worked his way east. Started out in commercial property, worked his way into residential. And it's not a new thing. Wade Cook publicized it 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. It's still being done. Some places they call it land contract. But a lease option really doesn't change deeds or as a way of controlling property without actually owning the property. And it's a way of giving the owners of the property an opportunity to get out from underneath responsibility, but it should be done with true intentions of actually being responsible for the property. That's a place where it's weak. Some people don't have any intention of following through. They just want to take the money and run. But in reality, whenever you do anything like this, it's really important to be sincere and make sure you maintain your obligation to the people. It's an opportunity to control the property and create some equity because you can make some money on the option and also an increase in the rent. You're not going to get rich on it, but if you maintain it long enough, you can make money on it. And that's one way to do a lease option. Another way is to actually buy the property and turn around and do basically the same thing. But the key is to control the property. And if you do it long enough, for a long enough period of time, you're also able to do buy property that needs work and do a Title I home improvement loan on it and increase the value.
What's a Title I home improvement loan?
It's a government insured loan where you can go in and do certain repairs on the property.
As an investment property?
You can do it with investment property or owner-occupant property. Mm-hmm. From 1 to 4 units.
And is that a loan that I guess if you said owner-occupant, then you can obviously be living in one side and renting out the others?
Yes, you could, but you don't have to live in any of them.
And what are the advantages of that, the Title I home improvement loan?
You don't have to have any equity in the property. That would be the main advantage, I would think, for an investor. Or if you have a listing that needs work on it, if you're an agent, you have a listing that needs work on it and it's not selling, generally, a pristine property will sell a whole lot faster than a property that needs work. So you would encourage your owner, I would think, to get work done on a property so it would sell faster. You don't have to have any equity. You could save your people from having to give it away and lose money on the property or turn it into a short sale. They could get the property fixed up. They could sell it at the highest point of the market instead of the lowest part of the market. They could sell it faster. If it's a relocation situation, the family could be reunited sooner. And then when the property is sold, they could pay off that loan, move on, be together again.
Sounds like a nice little loan program.
It's a wonderful loan program. It's been around since the mid-60s. I don't know why it's not used more.
Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Sure.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners.
Crowdfunding. You've heard about it, and now it's time to learn about it. Our best ever sponsor, Patch of Land, is a leading expert in the crowdfunding space, and they've got all the answers to your crowdfunding questions. Go to patchofland.com/best ever and grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever.
Sandra, what's the best ever book you've read?
It's a very old one. It's by Nickerson. How I Turned $1,000 into $1,000,000.
Best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
You know, I've been going over that one. I just can't come up with it. Probably that lady who told me about the stocks and bonds, this little story I mentioned earlier.
When bonds go up, real estate goes up. When stocks go up, real estate goes down is what she said, just as a refresher.
Yes.
Best ever success habit you practice?
Write down what you have to do and cross it off when it's done.
Best ever deal you've done?
Oh, this was when I was selling real estate. I decided I was going to list $1,000,000 in one day, and I did it.
I would imagine a lot of people would like to just kind of say, okay, in one day I'm going to list $1,000,000. So what's your approach? How did you accomplish that?
I wrote it down. I did it. I mean, I just set a goal that I thought was not doable, and I did it. As it turned out, I had a builder that had 3 houses. He called me. But I've also done the same thing with real estate. Let me address it towards investing. I know it's not lightning round, but we really are talking about investing. So I set a goal of not doing a property unless it was $100,000 gross profit in it. And that's all I do now is properties with $100,000 gross profit in them. And I can usually do a house at $250,000 with $100,000 gross profit in it.
And how are you finding those deals, or how were you finding those deals?
The same way I found them with $10,000 in them. They're sitting there waiting to be found, or they send them to me. You just set your parameters.
Can you be a little bit more specific on how they're sending them to you or setting parameters?
People know when you're looking for property, and I don't do bandit signs, and I have people that contact me and say, if I put an ad, I buy houses, will you look at them and buy them if I get one that you like? Sure, why not? And I don't do those kind of things, but people send me property all the time because they know that I buy property, or I have investors in my REIA group who will buy property. So it's just over a period of time, and that time could be a week, a month, a year, 10 years. People just know that you buy property and they will send you deals.
Got it. So it's through the word of mouth and the experience in building those relationships to a point where now you've got wholesalers and fix and flippers doing the bandit signs, the Craigslist ads, and then you're having conversations with them once they receive the deals and kind of taking the pick of the litter.
Exactly. Integrity. Follow through on what you say you're going to do. And the one thing that I found is not necessarily the amount of time. There are people who have been doing this for 10 years are not getting what I'm getting from the people I'm getting it from. So I think that's real important to emphasize with your listeners. It's not always a matter of time, because I heard in the beginning, oh, well, if you haven't been here doing this for 20 years, nobody's going to help you. Well, that's not true. Increase your numbers and you can eliminate that time factor.
What's the best ever project you're most excited about right now?
Right now, I'm working with the VA VASH program. It's a program to help homeless vets, and I'm excited about that.
Is that the best ever way you like to give back?
I like to give back to people who are helping other people, yes.
And what would you say is the best ever quote?
The Titanic was built by experts, but the Ark was built by amateurs.
What's that quote mean to you?
Oh, that means do it anyway. No matter what people say it can or cannot be done, you don't know if you don't try.
What would you say is the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
Oh, I know that one. I let somebody talk me into an investment at 14%. They convinced me that they do better than I could on a return. And I knew I could get at least 40% return on my money. And they ended up going bankrupt. I lost my money.
What's the best ever place to reach you?
Sandra Musselwhite at Cox.net.
Sandra, thank you for being on the show and sharing your wealth of knowledge with the best ever listeners and talking about everything from, you know, your background, your experience, talking through the differences and pros and cons between 15 and 30 year loans, why you favor 15, talking about lease options and the little used or little known Title I home improvement loan that you'd mentioned for residential properties, both income producing or investment properties, and also primary residence. And then the advice that the woman gave you a while ago, where when bonds go up, real estate goes down, and when stocks go up, when bonds go up, real estate goes up, and when stocks go up, real estate goes down. So thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for asking me.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, you best ever listener. Do you want more? Then go to joefairless.com, where you'll get tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And remember to subscribe to the best ever show in iTunes, so you can keep getting your daily dose of the best real estate investing advice ever.